The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
I've been running up that hill. I've been running up that hill. I've been running up that building.
I did not expect that one.
And I didn't pronounce the words properly, so we can't get in trouble for copyright.
Well, that's well thought.
Yeah.
Well
yeah.
thought.
I've been running up that hill. I've been running up that hill. Something like that.
Excellent. Yeah. That might have clipped that one. Never mind.
That's all right. We can't worry about it. So, well, we're rock and rolling.
We are rock and rolling. We've got an orange moon today. Orange for warning.
Warning and caution, because today is a sensitive subject to many.
It is.
I suppose. We're going to cover Madeleine McCann. Yeah, the disappearance of Madeleine McCann.
This is a highly requested episode, though.
It is, yeah.
I know you said like everything's off the table or on the table or however the expression goes.
We still don't know the expression.
No.
And to be honest, at this point, I'm not going to look it up. No. We've gone too far with it now.
It's off the table. So, quite a few people have actually requested that you cover the disappearance of Madeleine McCann.
Yeah, it's almost 18 years old. So it's been a while, but it's also one of those cases that even when I see a podcast pop up about it, I have to listen.
You can't resist.
I can't resist because it's just so gripping. Like the whole story is, it's amazing. Like, obviously we have to bear in mind that a child was...
Allegedly, it's amazing, but it's very sad.
Yes, allegedly abducted and all of that. But the actual whole story itself is just so fascinating.
So today we're asking what actually did happen to Madeleine.
Yes, yeah. So today I'm not going to do the usual format, Josh style, where it's the history and the whole story. And I think a lot of people know Madeleine McCann.
Well, we'll probably just give a very quick explanation of what happened that night for the people who don't know, because there are going to be youngsters and stuff maybe listening to this who don't really know the story. So we'll just have a quick brief of that. But I think there's a, like you said, a lot of different podcasts and a lot of places out there that have come up with theories. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be like going through those, have you formed your own theory, or have it?
I can give my theory at the end. Bearing in mind a very strong theory, because I don't want to get in trouble for the things that I say, so I'm going to be very careful and be as respectful as I can. So I'll give my two cents at the end, just based off of the evidence and what's happened. But I am going to be referring to a podcast called the James English Podcast, where he had a couple of guests, a man by the name of Bernd Stellander and a woman called Sonia Poulton.
It always makes me laugh whenever someone, you said, I'm sure there was another guy once where it was called Bernd something. And you
said Bernd Ballsack.
That was it, yeah. But any time I hear the name Burnt now, it makes me chuckle.
Yeah, that was the Admiral Byrd episode, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was, yeah.
I'm going to be referring to those two podcasts. That's where I've got most of my information from. Apart from that, it's Wikipedia and YouTube videos, and also the Netflix documentary.
Ah, yeah, that's a multi-parter, yeah.
Yeah, so everything I'm saying today is out there online.
Yeah.
It's in documentaries. It's very well documented. And some of it is other people's theories, mainly from that podcast.
Okay.
So I'm just covering my back here.
Yeah. I don't blame you. The amount of people have been sued over this.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that guy, Burnt, is one of the few people that hasn't been sued for his theories.
Right.
And I'll get into his theories towards the end of the pod because he's got some really bold statements and really bold evidence that he's come out with.
Yeah, so, fair enough. Well, looking forward to it.
So let's dive in to the little bit of history part. So Madeleine McCann went missing at the age of 3. She disappeared from her bed on holiday in an apartment in Praia da Luz in Portugal on the evening of May 3rd, 2007. It's the most heavily reported missing persons case in modern history. Madeleine's whereabouts still remain unknown, although it is widely believed that she is dead or passed on.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
And like I said, we're coming up to the 18-year anniversary mark. This coming May will be 18 years.
Yeah,
yeah. So I can give a few more details on like what happened.
We might as well just briefly run through what we know about happened that night.
Yes, so this is what's in the police reports and has been the widely accepted version of what happened. So parents Kate and Jerry McCann, their 2-year-old twin siblings and Madeleine, had a group of family friends and their children on holiday. The McCann children had been left asleep at 8:30 on the ground floor of the apartment while their parents dined with friends in a tapas restaurant 55 meters away, which is 180 feet. The parents checked on the children throughout the evening. Depending on reports, it says every half hour. Sometimes it was every 15 minutes and allegedly 45 minutes.
There's no actual concrete time given there then?
It varies a little bit. This is a running theme with the story. The police reports have some inconsistencies and people actually changed their statements and things.
Oh, okay.
So
fair enough.
The friends and the parents have changed reports and changed their story. Parents checked on it throughout the evening. Kate discovered Madeleine was missing at 10 o'clock in the evening. Over the following weeks, particularly after misinterpreting a British DNA analysis, the Portuguese police came to believe that Madeleine had died in an accident in the apartment and her parents had covered it up. The McCanns were given arguido, which is suspect.
Yeah.
Suspect status in September 2007, a few months after.
Naturally happens, yeah.
Which was lifted when Portugal's Attorney General archived the case in July 2008 for lack of evidence. Madeleine's parents continued the investigation using private detectives until Scotland Yard opened its own inquiry, Operation Grange, in 2011. The senior investigating officer announced that he was treating the disappearance as a criminal act by a stranger, most likely a planned abduction or a burglary gone wrong. In 2013, Scotland Yard released EFIT images of men they wanted to trace, including one of a man seen carrying a child toward the beach on the night Madeleine vanished.
6 years later.
Yep. So shortly after this, Portuguese police reopened their inquiry. Operation Grange was scaled back in 2015, but the remaining detectives continued to pursue a small number of inquiries described in April 2017 as significant. In 2020, German authorities declared Christian Bruckner their prime suspect for the abduction and murder of McCann, but charges have yet to be formalised. So Is he the German guy? He's the German guy.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, he was in the area at the time, wasn't he?
He was, but as of recently, I'm pretty sure it's not him.
He was fairly acquitted because he was on the Netflix documentary, wasn't he? I think.
Yes. They did mention him. He was actually serving time in prison for a different crime. But I'm pretty sure. When I did the research a few days ago, he has actually been acquitted of it. So the newspapers, I just want to mention as well, the newspapers, this was the hottest thing for months and years.
All the time. If you reported Madeleine McCann, you would, your paper was going to fly off the shelves.
Yeah, and it's one of those things as well where a little bit of conspiracy comes in. So how do I word it? So the newspapers were on the side of the McCanns because the McCanns had really good PR team.
To start with.
I don't know how to say it, other than they didn't want the case to be solved in a way because they were selling copies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So I would say for the first year, everybody was on the side of the McCanns.
Yeah, if not longer, maybe 2 years.
Didn't they do like a 12-month press release or something like that?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And they were all smiling and waving to the cameras and all that sort of thing. Everybody got a bit sus at that point, didn't
allegedly.
They? A lot of people did. Allegedly, whatever. But people started falling off the McCanns have got the high ground here then. But I mean, in fairness, in response to the story, these people were doctors who left their kids in an apartment and went out drinking with their mates. And all right, it was only 50 meters or whatever away. But I'm sure on the Netflix documentary that you've watched. There's no like direct line of like contact, you can't walk like out of the room, across the poolside to the table where they were sat. You have to go out of the complex, up the street, and then back into the complex. You know, so it's a roundabout sort of wet way that you've got to go. So it's not literally, you're not 20 seconds or 30 seconds away from your kids. And arguably, yes, people do have houses that could be, you could be that far away from your kids at home. But at the same time, it is less than responsible.
Oh, it's completely irresponsible.
Yeah.
And if it was anyone else, they would have their kids taken away. They would be prosecuted. Yeah. They would have repercussions for those actions. So the fact that they've never been in trouble for any of that is baffling to me. I don't understand it.
Parenthood of the Year award goes.
Considering the creche, the Ocean Club, the creche that looks after children is open till 11 o'clock at night, and they went out at 8:30.
The hotel has got a creche?
Yeah, the resort.
To look after your kids?
Yeah, the resort had a creche, and it was open till 11
And they didn't use it?
They didn't use it. No. Again, baffling.
Ultra responsible.
Yeah, so it's just baffling. It's also, I want to mention that what I'm presenting today is, it's not pointing a finger at the parents saying, you know, they did it or anything like that.
We haven't even got that far yet.
No, today is just a point of kind of almost going against the grain in a way, but I think more and more people are feeling the same, where it's just kind of pointing holes in the police reports and just kind of showing you how things are not all that it seems, and there's just lack of evidence in certain places.
All we've done so far is point out some mistakes that were made that could have, you know, stopped it from happening in the first place.
Yes, yeah. Interestingly enough as well, I will mention that now, is one of the interesting bits of information I found during the research was when Kate was asked in an interview at one point, it was something along the lines of, what if you could go back in time, like what would you have done differently, or you know, if you had an hour of that night, what would you have done anything differently? And her response was something along the lines of, I would go back and I would watch how the abductor did it. And I found that really interesting.
What?
Yeah, it was something along those lines where she said,
really?
Yeah, she
you
said,
would, you wouldn't go back and not go out for the night.
Exactly. That's another thing that adds to the weirdness of this situation.
Was, oh, I'd watch how he did it. No, you'd go back there, you'd arm yourself with whatever, a kitchen knife or something, and you'd wait in that damn room until someone showed up.
No, you wouldn't even do that. I think most parents and most people would say, I would go back and not have my kids in the room.
Yeah, like, not even have them in the room.
Avoid
the whole situation.
Yeah, but her words were very interesting because she was kind of, it's almost like they're making you want to believe that there was an abduction. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of suggesting, like, her words were, no, there was definitely an abductor. It's kind of pushing that narrative.
Right.
Whereas, it's just baffling. It's just another little tidbit of information.
Okay, fair enough.
So I don't even think I want to read the screenshots. I might just go for it.
Yeah, you go for it. Yeah. Who needs notes?
Well, I will just mention, around 10 past 10, Jerry sent, I won't say his name, one of the friends, to ask the resort's reception desk to call the police. And at 10:30, the resort activated its missing child search protocol. So 60 staff and guests searched until 4:30 in the morning, at first assuming that Madeline had wandered off. One of them told Channel 4's dispatchers that from one end of Praia da Luz to the other, searchers calling Madeline's name could be heard. So for
hours, I would imagine so, yeah.
And this is only half hour after she had been...
Disappeared.
Also, I want to mention that when Kate found Madeline was
not
gone, she decided to leave the twins in the apartment with the doors open, go back down to the restaurant where they were eating tapas and say that Madeline's gone, someone's taken her, were her words.
Right.
So
she left her other two kids alone in the room to go and... Mm-hmm. Say someone's taken her, which she doesn't know at this point.
Yeah,
it's just, has anyone seen Maddie? Would be the natural question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, kind of suspicious behavior there. She could have shouted from the
apartment. I'm sure there was like a balcony or something like that. I'm pretty sure there was.
There was an outdoor bit with a patio.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She could have shouted out.
Yeah,
but she didn't. She went all the way back down. So I found that very interesting. I'm going to go through some notes here. So there was a guy called Clarence Mitchell. He was actually paid by the Madeline Fund, which I should just mention. The Madeline Fund was created 10 days after Madeline had disappeared. And within those first 10, 12 days, it had already reached like 1.7 million. In funds.
What do they need a fund for 10 days after?
Allegedly to find Madeline.
Just need the police to do that. Why do they need a fund?
Yeah, but also Kate didn't leave the apartment. She didn't search for Madeline herself.
No, so not at all.
There is speculation that that's what she was doing. Because when she was asked, why didn't you search for your daughter or what were you doing? She said she had other things to do or better things to do, one of those things.
Like setting up a Madeline fund?
Allegedly, that is the speculation, that that's where or how the fund was set up so quick. Because she didn't actually search for Madeline whatsoever. It's very suspicious behaviour.
It is, very.
Yeah, I will say that the Portuguese police, also known as the PJ... Yeah. Because I'm not going to announce, I can't say what the actual budget is, like,
so the police
or something. Yeah. But yeah, it's just the PJs.
It's the uniform that gives it away, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a cool green uniform, I'm sure.
Yeah. It looks a bit like PJs.
Yeah, it does look pretty cozy, to be fair. I will kind of not stick up for the McCanns, but in their defense, they were the ones doing it, but the crime scene was not sealed off. So the McCanns and the friends and workers from the resort and people were going in and out of the crime scene.
Yeah.
Even before police got there or anything. So The police had a
hard... Oh, I see what you mean. Okay,
they had a hard time.
Yeah, because, yeah, they'd want to isolate any DNA samples or anything, and if everybody had been in and out of the building, in and out of the room, then, yeah, they've got a hell of a lot more work to do to try and isolate that DNA.
So a lot of the evidence was kind of tarnished in a way.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that I will say is the Portuguese police... They did kind of fumble at the first hurdle there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not all their fault because the McCanns and the friends were the people going in and out the apartment as well as other people. But yeah, it's just another little fact there that is just, it's just a little bit gutting. Like, a lot of these facts, as you'll hear them, or evidence or theories, as you hear them, you're just kind of, there's just a little sigh. You're like, oh, really?
Yeah, you just like, roll your eyes at half of it, don't you? Oh, my God. Your grief, really? Did that actually happen? Oh.
But the main guy that was in charge of all of the PR, the media, everything defending the McCanns was a guy called Clarence Mitchell. And he was actually paid by the Madeleine Fund. And I just want to point out that Clarence Mitchell actually worked for the government. So for him to leave the government and work for the McCanns full time just kind of shows you what kind of money he was being
paid. Pay packet, yeah.
And allegedly, after defending the McCanns for several years, I will say again, allegedly, he was caught in an interview saying there's something suspicious about the McCanns after he spent years defending them. So, allegedly.
When the money ran out.
I'm just trying to be very careful with my words. There is a guy, the main captain, Captain Amaral. He was the head of the PJ in Portugal's Porto.
Was only a captain and not an admiral. Admiral Amaral would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
No, Captain Amaral. He was the main guy that was running the case. So he believed from the start, and still to this day, believes that the McCanns are suspects. He does not think it was an abduction. After he spent years working on the case, obviously he's one of the people that were there at the time. He knows the case pretty well inside and out. And that I think that says a lot when, even to this day, almost 18 years later, he doesn't think it's an abduction.
Well... if it weren't an abduction and it were in a homicide investigation, the last people to see the victim are usually the prime suspects, you know, the number one suspect, aren't they? So maybe that's where he's got his theory from, and I don't know the information as much as he does and as much as you do, but maybe his gut instinct is founded. Who knows?
What makes it more suspicious is when a loved one does pass, or, you know, in a mysterious way or disappear, the first person or people that they look at are loved ones, family, friends, things like that. But in this case, for whatever reason, I think it was Scotland Yard, said that they weren't suspects, or they shouldn't be suspects.
Okay.
From the get-go. So they weren't really investigated.
That suggests to me that they have influence.
What, the McCanns?
Yeah, they know somebody who knows someone, you know how it works, you know, and...
I mean, there's so much to it, dude. There's so many underground theories and things that there's connections and things there. Like,
yeah,
so,
that's what I mean. When people are just let off the hook without even a cursory glance in their direction, it always suggests to me that there's like some kind of, there's a connection that not everybody is seeing.
I can throw out a theory of one of the connections.
Are you sure you want to do that?
I think I do.
Okay.
I think I do.
Okay.
Because it is fact, you know. Like, I'm just saying it, but Jerry used to be a member of the Celtic Boys Club.
Right.
Which in later years got discovered as a paedophile ring, and six members are in prison. There were six people as part of the same club.
Hang on, was he a youngster at the time, or like, as in a victim of the paedophile ring, or was he a member of the people that were doing it?
I'm not going to speculate or anything. It just says that Jerry was a member of the Celtic
of
Boys
the club.
And that club was later on found to be a paedophile ring. And six members of that same club are currently in prison.
That's dark.
That is very dark. So that's just one of the theories, is that there is some dark undertones here.
Yeah, there are. Definitely.
You know, I'll let other people connect the dots and speculate or whatever. But, you know, it's there's so much to it. There's also a running theme of people being blamed for the disappearance. The first guy, a guy called Robert Murat, was blamed for the disappearance of Madeline. His property was searched and he lived 150 yards away from the holiday apartment.
Right.
He later received £600,000 in out-of-court settlements because he wasn't guilty. There was no evidence. But the media and the McCanns and everyone latched on to him. And it went on for
the 600 grand was for like the harassment and defamation of character or whatever.
And Robert Murat was the big one, but that's happened to like a good 3-4 people. Where I don't know who's responsible, whether it's the media or maybe the McCanns or whoever. I can only take a guess that someone has got information. And then that whole team, the whole McCann, the funds, whatever, Scotland Yard, they've just run with it. They're like, right, investigate this guy, go, go, go. So they've just put so much effort. And then these people get found out to be, you know, not guilty. They're completely innocent. And their lives for a good couple of years get completely destroyed. And then they get settlements. So that's it. But it's happened so many times. The McCanns also hired psychics. And they themselves, or their team, I should say, were feeding stories to the media. And giving theories to the media about what could have happened.
Hired psychics.
Yeah. They hired psychics.
They're medical doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Highly educated people. Mm-hmm. I mean, not all of them, but generally don't put their credence into people like psychics to try and, you know, find a missing person.
No. But
I wouldn't.
Was it a distraction?
I don't know.
Because psychics aren't going to hold up in court, are they?
No.
Let's be honest. So, but I mean, for the majority of it, it is kind of to this day, it's not really, I want to say it's not the McCanns versus the world or anything like that. Because some people do say, well, the McCanns aren't masterminds. They're not criminal masterminds. Like, leave them alone. They have got support where people think, like, it's just cruel dragging it out at this point. But the counter argument to that is, after all these years, all the evidence, it just doesn't add up. And you've got the head of the PJ saying, you know, I suspected the parents from day one. You've got other Portuguese police, and they're still suspects to this day. That's the thing; they've not been cleared.
No, of course not.
Still suspects.
I don't think it's the case anymore, but I remember at one point the Portuguese government urged them not to come back to Portugal because they would be arrested and, you know, held in custody on suspicion.
Yes.
But I don't think that's the case today.
No, it's not. Operation Grange and Scotland Yard and all of that.
Yeah, interfered.
I don't know how politics works.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, like you say, it is politics, isn't it?
So the downfall of the McCanns started when a German journalist asked during a Berlin press conference whether they were involved in the disappearance. Flat out asked.
He asked them to their faces.
Yes.
Fair play.
And that was caught by obviously other newspapers and things. So that's when that kind of theory of them doing it started
erupting.
Happening. Yeah, so there was crazy stories of the McCanns being swingers, theories...
That has no bearing on the case at all. I wouldn't have
thought. Well, not really, but it's kind of painting a picture of, like, if, for example, they were swingers, it would make sense as to why they left their kids because it wasn't just a meal.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like, they were on holiday with other friends. So, it's just, it's not me. It's just, I'm just telling you what the journalists...
Yeah, all I'm saying is their sexual preference shouldn't have any bearing on the fact that their children went missing or their child went missing. So, I guess maybe it does.
So there were stories of them being swingers, sedating the children. Is the first big theory. So
okay,
the
well, they would have the know-how and probably the application to do that. The ability, if you like.
Yeah, and that is the big one. So there's the same theory, but there's two different kind of avenues we can go down. So the first big theory was that the McCanns were sedating the children to get them to go to sleep so they could go out and do their thing. Madeline was allegedly like quite a naughty child. She was like kicking up a fuss quite a lot, so
they give her a bit of a bigger dose
so that is one of the theories, is that she overdosed and died in the apartment that day.
Seems reasonable.
It's a cover up. The other one is that she was sedated, and this is actually a fact, I suppose, is when the PJ did get to the house, the sofa in the resort in the apartment was in a completely different place near the windowsill. So it wasn't in the room where the sofas are, all the other, you know.
Oh, not on the rest of the hotel complex.
They'd moved quite organized, was moved. So another theory is that whether she was on medication or not, Madeline had slipped off the sofa and hit her head on the windowsill or the radiator and passed away that way. And I will come back to that, because there is actual evidence to suggest that that is what happened. But that's just the two big kind of like theories that first came out about the McCanns. And then what backs this up as well is the stories of like the police reports, little things like Jerry couldn't remember whether he went in and out the patio doors or whether he went in the front doors when he checked on the kids.
He'd been drinking, so that I can kind of understand that a little bit. It depending on how inebriated you are, and you know, the fact that the point was to check on the kids, you don't necessarily remember the journey that you took to get there. But again, I mean,
I don't know. Personally, I disagree. I think if you're checking on children and stuff, I think you would remember, like, unless you're completely blackout drunk or something, and you don't remember anything. I feel like you would remember whether you went through the patio door, which is closer, or whether you went down the street and in.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you know what I mean? There's a bit of a difference.
I don't know. That's the thing, because being in shock as well would come into play, as well as the alcohol consumption. I'm assuming that this would have been the next day that he would have given that kind of statement, or, you know, sometime afterwards, because you're not allowed, or at least in England, you're not allowed to give a police statement if you're under the influence of alcohol, which is why they hold you in a cell overnight.
They would have had statements that night, wouldn't they? If a girl's gone missing.
But if they're under the influence of alcohol, that won't hold up in a court of law. So that's why they hold you in a cell.
But that didn't happen, mate. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it was correct.
But I don't understand what you're saying, because the police would have turned up. There would have been a girl missing. So they would have spoke to everyone to see what was going on. That's all I'm saying.
I
don't know the law and stuff in Portugal, but I'm just saying that they would have had some sort of statement from them initially when they turned up. There was inconsistencies whether the window could lock from the inside or the outside. It turns out that it's pretty stable, so you can only unlock it from the inside.
Most hotels are, yeah.
Whereas, you know, the theory of someone going in through the window from the outside and things doesn't really make sense.
Nope.
Also, the theory going on Madeline possibly passing away in the apartment and covering it up is... I should probably just go straight to the sniffer dogs because that's the biggest key part of the evidence for me that made me kind of think of this whole case in a different light. So there were two sniffer dogs called Keela and Eddie, and they were two Springer Spaniel sniffer dogs. One was like blood and the other one was cadaver.
Right.
And they're from South Yorkshire, so they're British dogs.
British dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, not like they're part of the British police force then, are they? Or from they're just British dogs that have been exported to Portugal?
I think they're basically the best of the best sniffer dogs. Right. So they've been used in hundreds of cases, and their success rate, if it's not 100%, it's like 99.9% of cases.
Oh, right, okay.
They are the best of the best. So they were brought in specifically for this case.
Well, they're like part of Interpol or something like that then?
Possibly. I'm not too sure. But either way, the dogs are the best of the best.
Yeah.
And they both sniffed out evidence. So they found... The cadaver dogs were sniffing around the back of the sofa and the windowsill, also the boot of the hire car that the
mechanics had in
the closet. And it was the same for the other dog with the blood. So it was on the floor, on the sofa, behind the sofa, closet, windowsill, which then also... plays into the theory of that she fell off the sofa and hit her head.
Right.
They also found blood in the boot of the car.
This is a hire car.
This is a hire car. Yeah, yeah. But it was a match for 15 out of 19 of the characteristics in the DNA. So that's how.
Okay. Right. Wow.
I don't want to keep saying the mechanics because it's that side, that team. That's how they get away with saying, like, well, no, it's, you know, not 100% accurate DNA results because it was only 15 of the 19 characteristics. But we're talking...
pretty good percentage.
We're talking the best of the best dogs.
Yeah.
So they also sniffed out and found a liquid in the car that did turn out to be sedatives.
Oh,
so that's another bit of evidence that it just doesn't line up. Like the things that I'm mentioning today, they just don't go with what we've all been told, the narrative we've all been told.
That's fair. But I'm fairly certain the McCanns said the dogs couldn't be trusted. Is that right?
Something along those lines, yeah. Even though
results from the dogs.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Also, the thing that swayed me more to thinking like there's something in this is still to this day they refuse to do lie detector tests. I know lie detector tests don't hold up in court, and
Kate and Jerry.
Well, I read somewhere that allegedly Jerry actually did answer a few questions and then stopped because he was advised. Well, they were both advised by their lawyer to not answer the questions. So that's the reason they use still to this day for not answering the questions.
The lawyer interjected.
The lawyer. But Kate flat out refused to answer any questions. And some of these questions were real simple. Like, are you involved with the disappearance of your daughter?
Well, they'd probably be even simpler than that. They have to make a baseline when you do a lie detector test. They have to ask you questions that they know the answer to, like, are you male?
No, they didn't do that. Are you awake? I saw the list of the 48 questions. It was nothing like that.
Really?
It was all to do with the case, but there were a couple, not as simple as that, but there were a couple where it was like, what day did you discover Madeline was missing? Do you know, like
knowing
simple,
the date. So, yeah.
And they just.
So they got that baseline. that they can work to take the rest of the readings from. That's kind of, I think that's how it works anyway.
But they refused to, or I should say Kate definitely refused to answer any of those questions, which I don't understand. This is, do you remember I said about like painting a narrative with the media and the team of the McCanns?
So, yeah.
The Kate had the twins have their hair samples taken, and Kate wrote in her book or memoirs or whatever that she was concerned that the abductor might have given the children sedatives. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know even how to react to that. Because obviously, right, if you were a child abductor, would you want to waste time giving sedatives to the ones that you're not abducting? You just want to be in, out, grab, quick, gone, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Surely.
Well, yeah, it seems...
I would imagine so. I've never abducted a child, so I don't know how it works, but that is, in my brain, you would want to be in... Grab out, done.
Well, it's the same as burglar, isn't it? You're not going to stick around, are you?
No.
If you're robbing someone's house.
And just... if sedatives were involved in that case, if you wanted everyone to not wake up to witness you doing it, then it would be sedatives or something into the food, which the McCanns, you know, Kate and Jerry would also have ingested or whatever. I just can't imagine that as a scenario that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also like, why would you even mention that if you've already been, if there's already a theory going around that you've sedated your children to put them to sleep, why would you then try and turn the tables and say, oh, well, I think the abductor might have given the children sedatives, so I'm going to send their hair off for samples to see if there were sedatives and things. But they didn't find anything in the samples either. So I don't know why she would do that.
That's just a crazy, very out there thing to even suggest.
So one of the friends said that she saw a man with a child, like carrying a child, away from the apartment.
Yeah, there was there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think there was a report of that. Yeah,
there were reports, and I can tell you now, the Portuguese police think that it was invented. They don't believe it because of the inconsistencies of the statements changing, stories changing amongst the friends and amongst the McCanns. I'll mention here as well. Oh no, I've. It's a whole thing about swingers, but I'm not gonna go into that.
Yeah, that's not good. And the swinging rate.
No.
Do they use sedatives? I don't know.
Yeah. So even the PJ questioned Kate and said, "Why did you not use your mobile phone or shout to the group from
the apartment
from the rear balcony?" And it turns out there is a balcony, from the balcony. Also, if the Portuguese police were saying years later, if your child has been abducted and you were with friends on holiday, the friends have never done like interviews or done anything like that. Like, if that was my child, I'd be shouting it from the rooftops. I'd be doing every lie detector. I'd be trying to prove my innocence. I'd be doing everything I could to get my daughter back. But it just seems that they haven't done that.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like they already lost hope.
Yeah.
They're just kind of setting up some kind of security measure to make sure that they don't get any kind of backlash from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the friends have never done interviews or anything like that. The McCanns refused to do lie detector tests and stuff, and they haven't exactly, you know, painting themselves, but they've in a good light at the moment. But there was also body language experts and people that were trained in the police to pick up on lies and and every single person that has seen interviews and like interacted with the McCanns have all said it's not genuine. There's something there. They're not telling the full truth, or they're hiding something. Yeah, yeah, and that's just from body language experts. So
I wonder if they've ever been through that, like, you know, where they use like high speed videos. They take high speed videos of people's reactions to being asked questions and stuff like that, and people's reactions you can't necessarily pick up on in real time, but when they slow the footage down, you see them, you see like winces and reactions and their eyes flickering and stuff like that. I wonder if anything like that has ever happened with these people, because I used to like that program. I don't know if you've ever seen it, called Lie to Me.
Yes, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, real good. And they, I remember, well, several of the episodes where they were using, like I say, that high-speed video to catch people out with that sort of thing on their lines of questioning.
Yeah.
And it, like with the high-speed video, it looks very, very obvious.
Yeah. I mean, there was another thing where it's absolutely baffling to me, where Kate had washed Madeline's favourite toy, Cuddle Cat.
All right.
So you would think that, knowing that the police dogs were going to turn up and they could get a scent, why would you wash her favourite?
She washed it before the police dogs came?
Yeah. She washed Cuddle Cat.
Okay.
Which,
well, I wouldn't imagine that would make too much difference to a dog, to be honest. I think that the scent would be too ingrained in there. The dog could probably still... Well, but it wouldn't be as strong, but the dog
probably...
They still
probably managed to use it.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just, why would you think to wash it.
Yeah.
And like they said on the James English podcast, that he's interviewed several people that have lost their children.
Right.
And they are still distraught to this day, like 10, 15, 20 years later, and they're still not over it. Some of them still have shrines.
Yeah.
Some of them haven't even changed like their
bedrooms.
Some people
can never
get
back on with their lives.
No.
After losing their children, yeah.
But Kate and Jerry decided to play tennis 3 days later. They also went jogging a few days later after that.
Well, after the disappearance?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is in statements. This is evidence.
Well, in some situations, people will encourage you to occupy yourself so you're not thinking about it all the time and stuff like that. You know, try and get it off your mind a little bit. But, I mean... Like 3 days afterwards, going and playing tennis is very weird.
But if you were going to do that and take your mind off it, why would there be so many paparazzi and almost make a show of it? It's like they wanted people to see them jogging. They wanted people to see them playing tennis. And I can't wrap my head around that. It doesn't make sense.
No, it's a bit weird, yeah.
But those,
go off on like a... Get away from all the paparazzi, to get away from it all, to clear your head out a little bit, go for a walk somewhere, or go a little boat trip, just get completely away from the hotel where it's happened. Yeah, I could understand that, but I mean...
I can't. I think that's where me and you differ on this, mate, because I can't... I don't have kids, but I can't wrap my head around the fact that if I had a kid and that kid went missing... I would do everything I could at that time and moment to find them or be doing other things.
Yeah, we're not different as much as you think, because I wouldn't do that either myself. I'm just saying I can understand when people need to get away from that just to clear their head out or something. While I was on that holiday, that would be the only thing that I'd be doing, is looking for my daughter.
But tennis wouldn't even be on my mind.
No.
Jogging wouldn't be on my mind.
No, I'd be cancelling my schedule. The only thing I'm doing for the rest of this holiday is looking for my daughter.
Yeah. So, suspicious behaviour there by the McCanns. The inquiry so far, looking for Madeline, it's been a minimum of 11 million. 11 million has gone into the Madeline Fund, if not more, to try and find Madeline.
What, the public money has drummed up 11 million... for the McCanns to use to try
the fund.
And
find... It's had massive donations. Like, J.K. Rowling donated to it. Richard Branson, they donated to it. Hundreds of thousands. Because they believe this narrative, or, you know, what we've been told, they've tried to help, and they've, you know, celebrities have put money into this fund. But the fund is used to pay pay legal fees and to sue people that say things about them, or, you know,
okay.
A different narrative. Okay. So the fund is just insane.
So that's the fund that's going to be suing us, is it?
No, because I'm just repeating what other people have said.
We're not making any allegations here.
No, not at all. No. So I will say this one very harshly. This is not me, but Stellander. He said this, the following, that he actually thinks his whole theory is that Madeline died the day before, on the 2nd.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, no, I can see that, yeah.
And this is how people think that he's getting away with not being sued, because there must be, or there might be, some sort of truth behind that.
Right.
Because if the McCanns or the team, the fund, then sue Bernd Stellander, it's going to bring attention to it, and it could possibly reopen the case.
Because it'll go into a court of law, and then he'll bring a load of evidence and go, well, look, I think this and this and this and this and this, and suddenly, yeah, the whole case is blown open again.
And this guy has evidence. Like, I cannot recommend enough, if you go find the James English podcast and just find the episode. He's done a few parts, but the first part especially, Bert Stellander.
Right.
This guy, during the whole of lockdown, dove into this case. And just for like a little background, this guy was ex-police, military. He is now like a journalist. He was a personal, a PI, private investigator.
Yeah.
And he's got a book, 850 pages, explaining all the evidence and his theory of Madeline passing away on the day before, on the 2nd. Now, when I first heard him mention this, I thought, he's in it for the money. Just to prove he's not in it for the money, he is actually a very rich man, and he's using his own money to investigate this Madeline McCann case, because he had the pattern for some sort of golf club, whether it was a putter, and he was even offered a job, like a six-figure...
Oh, patent.
Patent, yeah.
Yeah.
So he had this... It was something to do with golf.
Right, yeah.
He then sold this patent, and he also was offered a job working in San Diego for this golf company, and he turned it down. Like, he's got...
Oh, like overseeing the manufacturer and quality control and all that.
He's,
sort of,
he's good for money, so he's not in this for the money, because he's got money.
Yeah.
He says in the podcast he wants the truth to come out, and he wants to make a point that, again, he's not going after the McCanns, he's not going after them or holding them responsible. He's just making a point that there are so many inconsistencies on what the narrative and what we've been told and to what actually happened, and how evidence and certain things point in a different direction, and nobody's really investigating it. Like, the Scotland Yard aren't investigating that side of it. They're everyone's kind of done with it. He also mentions that the nanny was a big part of his evidence.
The nanny?
The nanny. So
what nanny?
There was a nanny that was looking after all the children, like, during the day, like taking them to the beach and things like that.
Oh, was this part of the creche service?
No, I think it was their actual personal nanny, pretty sure.
Hang on, they hired a nanny,
I think,
took her on holiday to look after the kids.
Well, they had a nanny.
So where was the nanny at night?
I don't know, mate. They had a nanny in England as well. So I know that they have hired nannies.
Okay.
I don't. There was a nanny during the day,
but not in the evening.
Unless she was part of the tap, I don't know. But there was a nanny during the day that took him to the beach, and there was inconsistencies in what she told the police. So she kept saying, you know, when they would ask her, well, did you have all the children? Did you take them down to the beach? She would say, oh, I had four or five of them. Well, if you're a nanny and you're responsible for children, you would know exactly how many children were there at any given time.
Yeah.
Little details like that. So he makes a point of saying they need to look into the nanny a bit more.
Right.
Clashing statements. But this, the biggest reveal, because we're getting towards the end now. So Bert Stellander, breaking news as of like a few weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago by the time this episode comes out. He has evidence and statements of people in the area that allegedly saw on the day before, on the 2nd, his whole theory.
Right, okay.
Allegedly saw Jerry at 2 a.m. carrying a huge black tennis bag, and he was carrying it with two hands, allegedly.
Out of the hotel room.
on the streets.
Okay.
So that's just what he presented in the podcast. Things might have changed by the time this comes out, but that was his big reveal on the second part of the podcast that he did.
Right.
He's now in Portugal. He was in Portugal, and he was getting all the witnesses and getting their statements and what actually happened. And there was a few of them that told the police. And another reason why the Portuguese police think that this wasn't an abduction is the Scotland Yard and the Operation Grange, they don't acknowledge it. They haven't even listened to those statements, those witness statements. They've just kind of poo-pooed it away. Whereas the Portuguese police are still very much interested. They're treating it as suspects. To the point where this guy, Bernd Stellander, like just to make a point of how extreme he went to Praia da Luz and was like hiding in bushes. And he got Jerry McCann's email, and he sent a anonymous message email to Jerry McCann. This is all legit. Right. He talks about this on the podcast.
Fair enough. Yeah.
He sends Jerry McCann an email saying she's about to be discovered. Right? That he's pretty sure that his theory is correct. He knows for sure where roughly the body is. So he's working on it now. He's trying to get this all, the truth to come out. So he's sent Jerry these emails, and he waited in bushes for the McCanns to turn up. They didn't turn up.
But someone on their employee did. Yeah.
One of the friends did from the Tapas 7. He calls them the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Yeah. But one of the friends did. So that in itself is also...
Very sus.
Very sus.
Very.
But yeah, I've kind of waffled on and gone all over the place today. But it's just so fast. And there's stuff that I've missed out. There's other research bits that, I mean, is it worth mentioning? Is it not?
I think a lot of people will already have a good idea of what they think of the Madeleine McCann case anyway.
Yeah.
Like you say, well, or like, what's his name? Bernd
Stellander.
Has said, I mean, let's say there's two outcomes that it could be. It could be a genuine child abduction, or it could be some form of, shall we say, manslaughter. Or accidental,
yeah, it'll accidental, be
accidental
death, yeah, it's not,
something like that. But there's a cover up of it either way.
It's definitely not murder. I'm throwing that out there.
I can't imagine anybody would murder their child. But then, if it was an accidental death, why wouldn't you just admit it?
Yeah, that's the thing. If that is the case, I think this is deeper than we know.
It's horrifying if that was the case, but why wouldn't you just, this is what happened. She fell off the sofa, hit her head on the radiator or the windowsill or whatever it was. And as doctors, we realised that the wound was never going to heal.
Mm. And I also forgot to mention that Amaral, the head of the PJ, he actually wrote a book as well with all the evidence that he had and his theories and statements from what he knows. And the McCanns sued him, and his book was taken off the shelves. He wasn't allowed to, you know, publish it, whatever. He then appealed it, and he won. So then he was allowed to sell his book. The McCanns tried to appeal that, and they lost.
Oh.
So the...
That's
Portuguese
an interesting
court,
turn of events, eh?
They are now allowing for him to, you know, come out with these statements and things because he was the head of the PJ. He was the guy that was in charge of the case. So if anyone's going to know about it, it's him.
Fair play.
But yeah, it's so interesting. There's a lot of theories. There's a lot of inconsistencies. So
how do we rate this one on the paranormality scale this week? I can't do it on how much I like it, because the little girl is one way or another missing, and I don't like that.
No, no.
It's a big mystery.
Mm. If it's a scale of naught to O.J. Simpson, then maybe an eight? I don't know. I don't know. What does that scale even mean? I don't know. It's a tough one.
Like I say, it swings two ways on this one. Is it an abduction, or is it some kind of unfortunate event that's befallen this little girl?
I think maybe we don't rate it, because I don't know how you would rate it.
I don't know how.
I don't feel right doing it.
I don't feel right putting a 0 to 10 on in any like direction on it.
I will say I'm not going to really give my opinion. I kind of am, but I'm not. Like, I'm not going to say what I actually think happened. All I will say is there is a lot of evidence out there that suggests things happened, and there's a lot of evidence that kind of supports the narrative. It's kind of split 50-50. But
how about this? I don't know, because I haven't researched it, and I've not listened to these podcasts that you listen to, this burnt cylinder guy. How heavily do you believe in that guy? You don't have to put a number to it on a scale, but, you know, do you think he's really onto something?
I really do. I really do think he's onto something.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the way he talks about it with such, like...
vehemence.
He's got evidence, and he's also got to the point where he even says himself, all of this stuff that we've mentioned today, all the stuff that he spoke about on the podcast, you can look it up. It's all true. It's all out there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just piecing things together. So, like I said, with lockdown and things, he read every single police statement, every single witness. He dove into it.
And he's just got the ability to think outside the box and just, like, pull the information together into...
He's literally just going off of the evidence. So,
and he's not, like, creating a narrative. He's just going...
No, he's not created a narrative. That's the scary, like, weird thing about this, is he's not created anything. He's looked at every single piece of evidence. Like I said, he's deep-dived into it more than anyone else on the planet. He's looked at all of the evidence, and he's gone, well, this points to the second rather than the third. This also points to the second rather than the third. This bit of evidence suggests that that didn't happen, but this happened. So then he's just put it all together, and then the theory has almost presented itself.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
And I just find it so bizarre that he's out there talking about it, and so, he's like not being sued. He's not. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. So if we've excited or sparked anyone's imagination on this, and what they want to learn more, where would you suggest that anybody starts looking? Which podcast did you say it was?
So, James English is the podcast. He's a lovely Scottish bloke. Really, really good interviewer. He asks some really good questions. And Bert Stellander is the guy on it. And he's done two. The first one is by far, like, it's unbelievable. The detail, he goes into more detail. He will give you times, dates, everything.
Right.
I've kind of butchered it today.
ours is a taster. Mm. What I'm saying is, if you want to go and find out more about this, and you want to, if we have perked your interest, then go and listen to these podcasts.
And
watch the Netflix documentary as well. I found that very interesting, although it's been a couple of years since I watched it. But
yeah. But I mean, I think I'm the same as most people. Like, you know the Madeleine McCann story. You've heard over the years theories and stuff, but no one really pays attention. No one really thinks into it. They're just kind of like, it's a sad situation. A girl was abducted. They kind of forget about it.
No one really wants to think into it in case it gets sued.
Yeah. But the fact that this guy has been, like, thinking about it, and he's spent dedicated years of his life to it and stuff, that was what, during my research, that was the one bit that got me thinking about it, where I was like, maybe there is more to this. I don't know.
Well, that was Madeleine McCann.
Mm.
And I hope you enjoyed it. It's nearly the end of January when this goes out, and we still have 20% off on our merch if you want to get an awesome t-shirt design before they go. Because this was another thing that I was thinking of doing, right? We make some of these t-shirt designs limited edition, so later on this year we're going to scrap them and come up with new ones.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so you may not know how much longer you can get a Paranormality design.
Change the merch every year.
And why not get it right now while it's 20% off until the end of the month? And, until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.